our speed.
That's what I want.
You did everything that you could.
Yes, sir.
You do everything the coach told you to
there
do.
There wasn't one more thing that you could have done.
Yes, sir.
All of you around that ball. All of you.
Can you live in that moment?
Yes, sir.
If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
Now, Chicagoland's premier prep football recap show. This is Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN. Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's a rainy Friday in Chicago, Preps Plus Chicago, Season 8. It's week number 7. We are long beyond the halfway point here at Illinois High School Football, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. As we welcome you into the All-State Showcase Studio, Rob Martier's got your news. But we begin with bad news, Rob.
Uh-oh.
Tough one for your squad. They got hosed.
Who'd they lose to?
Main South.
Oh, no.
It happens.
Well, Main South's a good program.
They are. We have an update for Roger Battis. Roger, are you there?
Yes, I am. And Main South did beat Evanston earlier in the year already.
Well, Main South is a power. They're number two in the Tribune Top 20. 30-0 Evanston Wildcats.
Over?
Niles West.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you expected that.
South lost by how much?
It was about 30 points.
No
boy. It happens. My caravan of Mount Carmel, they lost to De La Salle. I don't think we've ever lost to De La Salle in the history of football.
Mount Carmel?
Oh, here, I've got the score here, Sammy. Main South, 47. Glenbrook South, 13.
34, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's counting?
It happens.
It happens.
16 of the top 20 in action tonight. The big matchups, number 7, Marist, number 13, Nazareth, number 10, Lake Zurich, number 12, Stevenson, and the Battle of Naperville, number 8, Naperville Central, Naperville North. That game took place at North Central College. Big game tomorrow, too, number 6, Glenbard West against number 15, Hinsdale Central. But I would be remiss if we didn't go out to the phone lines here as his Hersey Huskies, already playoff bound, but they got the fire truck trophy with a win over Buffalo Grove, 33-14. He covered the Cubs' win tonight in Game 1, and he is gloating about the big win for the Huskies. What's up, Kev?
Yeah, equally as big as the Cubs' victory tonight, the Hersey Huskies' victory over the Buffalo Grove Bison.
They're in first place now in the Mid-Suburban East.
Yes, 6-1, I want to say. Owen Goldsberry, the quarterback, continues to tear it up. Coach Pardon, I was texting with Coach Pardon all week. We were getting chill talking about some past moments of BG-Hersey rivalry. My senior year, we beat BG on a Hail Mary pass as time expired. So I always get a little pumped up for this rivalry. A lot of the kids play with each other in Pee Wee football and things like that. They grow up together. They go to school together. And then when high school comes, normally like half of them go to BG, half go to Hersey. So it's a huge rivalry, and the Huskies are rolling, and I love to see it.
So the Huskies now 3-0 in the conference in the Mid-Suburban East, 6-1 overall. I'm looking at the schedule for next week. I think they play on Friday, but I think we should put a call in to Coach Perdon if he can make it.
Yes, we're working on it. I think it's big enough to where we should be broadcasting live from the Husky games from here on out. Sam, I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I wouldn't push the envelope.
Okay, maybe a little bit much there, but yeah. I'm really pumped for my Huskies. Good to see you. And Coach Pardon will be on soon, absolutely, at potential. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but Buffalo Grove, I think, was undefeated before tonight.
They were 6-0.
There we go, my Huskies.
They had only given up 36 points all year.
Wow, and we put up 33 tonight.
I love how plugged in you are despite covering a baseball playoff game.
Hey, one of my tabs on my laptop was dedicated to the Hersey Husky Twitter account. Just sort of keeping an eye on that while the Cubs were playing.
All right, that's Kevin Powell. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll listen to your coverage for Game 2, Cubs and Nats in D.C. Get home safe, will you?
All right, boys. I'll see you soon. Thanks.
That's Kevin Powell, who played for the Hersey Huskies back in high school. He's very excited. So we wanted to give him top billing on the show. The Huskies, again, a big win, and they get that fire truck trophy for beating Buffalo Grove. Let's move on. Mike Clark, Chicago Tribune Media Family. He covered the Battle of Naperville, number 8, Naperville Central against Naperville North. Central 5-1 coming in, North 4-2. Mike, give me the final. What was the big story tonight?
44-41, North pulled it out.
Whoa!
Yeah, it was
you know, just the typical North game, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, with Joe Tiller, the Purdue coach, passed away about a week or so ago, you know, and he was the guy who was big on basketball and grass. Well, there aren't a lot of grass fields around anymore, but you might want to call it basketball and turf the way Naperville North plays it. So, you know, Drake Davis was his usual self. He had four touchdowns total, three passing, one rushing. The kind of the story of the game was that North was able to run the ball really well, too. And, I mean, you know, I've seen a few pretty good offenses this year, but there's not a lot of teams in the state that can move the ball as effectively passing and running the way North can. Amir Wilborn had a breakout game today, had a 65-yard touchdown run. It kind of turned it around when it looked like Central was coming back. But, you know, Naperville North is sitting at 5-2 now. And they're going to be a team that not a lot of people are going to want to play in the playoffs because, you know, we've been talking about them all year long. They just score points in bunches. I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of basketball teams that aren't going to score as many points as Naperville North's football team does.
The issue there, though, with teams that score a lot of points, and you've covered this for a long time here, high school football in Chicagoland, the teams that go into shootouts when they get into the playoffs, it's always tough when you face that defensive-minded team. Can their defense hold up? Because if they're going to turn the ball over and fling the ball around, that's fine. But if you turn it over, you've got to get stops on defense. Can they do it on the other side of the ball?
That's a great question. I mean, we're going to have to find out. You know, I mean, they gave up 49 and beat Edwardsville. You know, they gave up 41 tonight, you know. The key was that they didn't turn the ball over tonight at all. And they got one key turnover on special teams when they recovered a fumbled kickoff. So, you know, if they don't turn the ball over, you know, maybe they can, you know, kind of break that formula by just outscoring somebody else. But, you know, Naperville Central, you know, is still a great team too. And the DVC is just a mess right now, you know, kind of in a good way from a fan standpoint. Wheaton North won tonight. They beat Neuqua Valley, so Naperville Central and Wheaton North are tied for the lead, and then there's three teams that are a game back with Naperville North, Neuqua Valley, and Lake Park. So, you know, we had 2 weeks left. We got five teams within a game of each other in the DVC, so that'll be kind of fun to watch.
Do you know where you're going yet next week? Have you thought that far ahead?
Oh, dude, give me a break.
I'm here to ask the tough questions, Mike. That's why I'm here. You have to think about this.
You are here to ask the tough questions, and I don't have a good answer for that yet. I do know in week 9 that it's probably going to be Bolingbrook and Lincoln Way East, so that should be an interesting one in the Southwest Suburban, but I have not made up my mind about week 8 yet, so I'm sorry. I got nothing for you.
As long as you figure it out by Friday, I think it'll be okay.
I think so, too. Well, I'm probably going to have it figured out, you know, by Monday. But, you know, with all of the upsets and, you know, kind of the conference stuff shifting around a little bit, I'm going to have to look and see who's out there. You know, there were some interesting results tonight that I saw already. I mean, Mount Carmel lost to De La Salle, which
mm-hmm.
is...
Yep, thanks for that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know how you feel about that. But, you know, that was kind of a shocker, obviously. And, you know, that's the... But I guess actually the blue is going to be kind of interesting and coming down to probably Loyola and Providence. So is that week 8? I don't have the schedule in front of me. If that's week 8, that might be one for me.
He's on the scene for the Chicago Tribune media family on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. We'll talk to you in week 8. We'll read your stuff in the paper. Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good, guys.
That's Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. Let's do this. Kevin Powell is not here. So Joe Romano will have your scores on Preps Plus.
Tabulating game scores.
Now, the Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
All righty. Just getting my paperwork situated, you know.
You have enough going on.
Yep. So, starting with the top 20, number 1, Lincoln Way East, throttles Lockport 49-6. Number 2, Maine South, 47-13 over Glenbrook South. Sorry, Rob. Number 3, Prairie Ridge, 55-14 over Hampshire. Number 4, Phillips, 42-28 over, is it Raby? Rabby?
I believe so, Rabby.
Rabby.
Rabby, R-A-B-Y.
R-A-B-Y, Rabby. Loyola is in action tomorrow against Leo. Number 6, Glenbard West, also in action tomorrow against number 15, Hinsdale Central. Number 7, Marist, 42-0 over Nazareth.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a ranked matchup. And as we just talked to Mike Clark, NNHS, those Huskies, they be barking. They beat Central 44-41.
Where did you go?
I went to Naperville North.
Uh-huh. They be barking.
They be barking.
Is that a hashtag?
How about them dogs?
How about them dogs? Big win for Naperville North. They win the crystal ball in Naperville.
Over at North Central College, number 9, Homewood Flossmoore, 35-7 over Bradley Bourbonnais. Number 10, Lake Zurich, 28-0 over Stevenson, another ranked matchup. Number 11, Barrington is playing Hoffman Estates tomorrow. Number 14, Huntley, 49-7 over Crystal Lake. And let's see, we got a few more scores for you here. Washington, 26-21 over Pekin. St. Ignatius over Aurora Christian, 28-12. Let's see, we got East Dubuque, 14-6 over Durand. Palatine, 28-14 over Fremd. Montini, 56-0 over DePaul. Notre Dame College Prep against Marion Catholic. That was 48-19 in favor of Notre Dame. New Trier, 41-0 over Niles. Let's see what else we got here. Warren Township, 34-0 over Waukegan. Lake Forest with a 14-8 victory over Zion Benton. Rolling Meadows, 48-0 over Elk Grove. Sorry, these are little scrambled.
You're just full of paperwork. I got some on the text line here. A big win for the number 2 ranked team.
A resurgence of Tarkanian.
Don't know what that is. Hersher over Mantino, 34-27. Big win for Hersher. We also have Marion Central 16, Carmel 15. I don't know if you read those yet. And a Rockton win. Rockton Hananaga, 29. Rockford Auburn, 6. You had the one in the triple digits, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Give me that one. Oswego? Come on.
Oswego, 110-3. Yep.
110-3.
110-3 over Joliet Central.
All right. Let's end with that. We'll get more scores at about 11:45, thanks to Joe Romano. 110-3, the win for Oswego. That's about as embarrassing as it gets. Up next, we'll talk to the Preps Plus Prize, our expert, Mike Helfgott. Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And next week, Monday Night Football, you can watch it on the big number 9 on WGN-TV. Bears, Vikings, kickoff Monday at 7. That's after WGN-TV Sports. Monday night, the pregame at 6:30.
Now, back to Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN.
Keep those scores rolling in on Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. You help us, we help you. 312-981-7200, a nice win for Providence over Fenwick, 37-0. That was texted in from the 708. You can join the party as well, 312-981-7200. Joining us now on the phones, our Preps expert from the Chicago Tribune. He's been covering Preps for a long, long time, Mike Helfgott. Coach, happy Friday.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Well, let's start here, because this is the headline from your paper about a shooting and a forfeit in Wheaton. St. Francis High forfeited tonight's game against Chicago Hope. That was on the west side because of safety concerns. What do you know about the forfeit?
Well, the shooting wasn't in Wheaton. It was on the west side of Chicago. You know, this was last week during a Providence Hope Academy game last week. Gunshots were heard, you know, around Elk Grove Park. Game stopped. Game was played. You know, the Hope Academy people said it was the first incident that they've had in the 13 years, you know, that they've been there, been playing there. Because of it, St. Francis canceled, forfeited the game this week. This is a conference game, Catholic League game. This is Hope Academy's homecoming game. And, you know, and to me, it's just really not cool on the part of St. Francis.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, yeah, I stand corrected there, as you pointed out. Wheaton, the team from Wheaton St. Francis, forfeited the game because of the shooting on the west side. What message does that send to the people over at Hope?
Well, I think it sends a terrible message, not just to the people at Hope and you know, what they're trying to accomplish there, you know, in a neighborhood that has a lot of serious challenges. And it doesn't send a good message then to anybody else on their schedule. All of a sudden, this is an option. You can decide. You have a contract. You have an obligation to go and play a team. You have an obligation to that school. You have an obligation to your own kids, who, by the way, you know, made their voices heard that they were unhappy, you know, about this decision as well. It just sends a terrible message, and it's also just kind of really sort of turning a blind eye, a deaf ear to the way things are and to reality. And you know, most of the shootings that go on in the West and the South Side, these are targeted shootings. These aren't just random shootings. People coming into a park and start shooting up a park. That's not reality. And these are, you know, these are conference rivals. So these are partners. These are schools that are supposed to be in partnerships. And to show that little understanding and just, you know, to be that culturally unaware of the situation, it's really sort of frustrating.
Yeah, the quote here from one of the officials at St. Francis, quote, "safety is first," end quote. And I understand that. And you want your team to be safe. You don't want them to go into any situations where you don't feel safe. But this had nothing to do with high school football. And I think that's the issue here. And I can hear in your voice how upset you are, because this is what these kids wait all week for. After their last game, they go through the film and they practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They have their walkthroughs on Thursday. They get ready to go, and then they find out Friday morning, hey, we're not going to play today. I know they get the win, but it's about the competition and the participation, and that was taken away from the guys at Hope.
For sure. You know, and just, you know, on a higher sort of cultural level to show that little understanding for the situations that people deal with every day, all of a sudden, you know, the situation in Chicago is thrust upon administrators from this school, you know, in a way that they're uncomfortable with. Well, this is something that's dealt with every single day in their lives. And I believe one of the quotes I read was, you know, for the safety not only of the St. Francis students, but for the Hope Academy students as well. I mean, that's very insulting. You know, it's very, just very culturally unaware, as I said.
I want to ask you about the Catholic Blue real quick. Talking with Mike Helfgott, Chicago Tribune, our preps expert. Here are the records. Loyola 5-1, they play tomorrow. Providence 5-2, they shut out Fenwick tonight. St. Rita 5-2. Mount Carmel, after losing to De La Salle, they're 4-3. So 5-1, 5-2, 5-2, 4-3. And at the bottom of the barrel, Brother Rice, 2-5. What's going on with the Crusaders this year? Is it just a lack of offensive talent? I know they lost a lot. They lost Ricky Smalling to U of I. They've lost a lot of guys that made plays for them last year. But to see 5-1, 5-2, 5-2, 4-3, and then see Brother Rice at 2-5, I'm scratching my head over that one.
Well, that's a tough schedule. I mean, those teams all play each other. So in a sense, you know, for somebody to be 5-1, there's got to be losses somewhere. And obviously Mount Carmel's not having a great year either. So that's part of it. And, you know, Brother Rice also goes out and challenges, or really, you know, challenges itself in the non-conference play as well.
They lost to Marist, they lost to Crete Moni, Montini,
right.
And then the
right.
Losses to Providence and Carmel.
So on the scale of all high school football teams, Brother Rice is above average. But when you factor in the Catholic Blue and their non-conference schedule, I think that's your biggest answer. I mean, are they as good as they've been the last couple of years? Obviously not, but the schedule has more to do with that 2-5 than anything else.
So if we cross the border into Indiana, and you know you don't need any win marker to get into the playoffs, you could be 0-9 in Indiana and get in. What are your thoughts about a Brother Rice team? If they finish 4-5, if they beat Rita and upset Loyola, they'll be 4-5, but they won't technically qualify. Do you think that's right, or should things be changed to account for teams that actually go out and challenge themselves?
Well, things should be changed, and I don't think it's as much about that. I mean, that's part of it, but the other part of it would then be it would just make it so a lot easier for teams to schedule games, and all the conference craziness that we see would then come to an end, because teams wouldn't have to worry about winning 5 games. That's really the bigger issue.
Right, and you can't really, you know, hold it against a team like Brother Rice to go out there and challenge themselves, like you said. He's Mike Helfgott, Chicago Tribune, on Twitter, at MHelfgott. We appreciate you staying up late, and we'll talk to you next week in week 8.
Coach, you have a nice weekend.
That's Coach Mike Helfgott. I have to grab a quick timeout. Rob Martier standing by with the news. 720 WGN.
We're going to use our speed.
Do you hear me?
It's Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine on 720 WGN.
It is 11:42 in the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Week 7 of Illinois high school football, and joining us now on the phones from Shaw Media, he's the bracket expert. He's the guy that you lean on to talk about the IHSA football playoffs. Steve Soucy, the Seuss on Twitter. What's up, Seuss?
Hi.
Well, I always talk to you around this time of the year because it's fascinating to me because you do these projections and you chart every game, and I follow you on Twitter at the Seuss, T-H-E-S-O-U-C, and you pretty much throw all of this together from week one and you chart all these things out. And my first question is, when did you start doing this? Because this process, it's fascinating to me, and I want to know how you got your start in it. Why did you do it, and how did that how did that get rolling for you with the brackets?
Well, I'm kind of a creature of habit, and when I first started doing it, I was actually the senior in high school, and I was working part time at a newspaper, and one of the area football coaches started calling late at night back when you would get all your scores off the wire service, and he was asking me for all these weird scores, like of schools that I'd never even heard of, and I was like. Finally, I just asked him, like, why do you care about these games? They're not from the area. They don't involve any of the teams you play. So he explained to me the process of how he was trying to figure out whether or not his team was going to be in one class or another, and he needed to know all these scores. And so then I got interested in the process and discovered that putting this all together is just like trying to put together a giant puzzle. And what a lot of people don't realize about the playoff system as it stands is the 8A field is affected by what happens in 1A, and the 3A field is affected by what happens in 5A, and who gets into which fields. It's all interlocked, and that was just kind of a really interesting process to me. And I like how there's just all this data that comes in every week, and you just kind of have to look at it and analyze it and figure out what it means in the grand scheme of the playoffs. And you can never get it all right. I mean, it's obviously a very difficult process to try to figure it all out. But I think I've got the system down to the point where I can kind of pinpoint the upsets that happen every week and how it affects the field. And it's just something that's really interesting to me, and just in terms of all the levels to it, all the little things that can have a wide sweeping effect on how the playoff field looks in 2 weeks.
Well, somebody driving around in their car right now in Chicagoland is saying, this guy's insane. Why would a score in 1A affect the playoff picture in 8A? Can you elaborate?
Well, when it comes right down to it, if you have a team that it goes into the last week of the season that is a 4-4 team that beats a team that's 6-2. So originally you didn't think that team was going to make the playoffs. Well, if that little small school team wins that game and gets themselves a playoff spot, then a spot has to be created for them in the 1A field. So then every other class bumps down one spot. So the team that looked like they were going to be the biggest school in 2A moves down to 3. The team that looked like they were going to be the biggest school in 6A moves down to 7. And then the whole seating, all the seating for the class has to be restacked because you've got a different team in there than you originally anticipated with a different record. So that one thing, that one cascading score in 1A can change everything. It can change everything all the way down through the entire field.
So when the Cobden Apple Knockers, when they get a big one in week 9 and clinch that playoff spot, it changes everything. I like that. I haven't actually thought about it that way. Because this process, it's not finalized until after week 9, right? I mean, this is a fluid process until the very end.
Yeah, it is very much so. And, I mean, sometimes you'll get into situations where there'll be a game on Saturday between 2-4-4 teams that are in two different classes. So, like, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, on playoff day, I mean, there could be a game anywhere in the state that could have a concrete effect on who gets in, what teams are in what classes, and how the brackets finally factor out. So, yeah, it comes down all the way down to the wire. Usually we head into the last week of the season with about 310 teams fighting for 256 spots, and then some of them lose and get knocked out of the process, And usually on playoff night, there are 275 or so teams that are eligible for those 256 spots. So then you have to do all the playoff point stuff and all that other stuff to figure out all the tiebreakers. But it's a complicated process. It's a process that a lot of people don't fully understand, but in the same sense, it's pretty fascinating too.
Steve Soucy with us on Preps Plus Chicago, IHSA bracket expert, and he writes for Shaw Media. He's been covering Illinois high school football for a long time. It's tough to ask you about the bubble teams right now because you still have 2 weeks left to go. But my question to you is, as you follow all these teams throughout all A classes, who are the teams that you thought maybe earlier in the season would be better off? Like a Brother Rice, for example, they're now 2-5. Everybody had them in the top 20 early in the season. Which team is on the bubble, or which teams are on the bubble that you didn't think was even going to be a possibility before week one?
Well, I think the one team that really stands out to me in that regard is Waubonsie Valley. They were a team that I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of people had in the top 25, and then
they were top three. They were top three in the top 20 in the Tribune before the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're 3-4 now after tonight's loss to Lincoln Way Central, and their schedule doesn't do them any favors out of the DuPage Valley. I think it's going to be hard for them to get to 5-4 and get themselves into the field. And that's a team that everybody had, you know, really high expectations for, that I think they have a very steep uphill climb just to get themselves to 5-4. They did it. They'd obviously have enough playoff points because they played a very strong schedule, but getting there is going to be a real challenge. And that's something that if you had told people before the year that they might be a non-playoff team, they probably would have looked at you like you were crazy.
What about a team that has disappointed? Well, actually, we just talked about the disappointment, that being Waubonsie Valley. What about a team that has sort of surprised you as far as how well they've played this season?
I'll flip it right back to the game that we were just mentioning to right there, Lincoln Way Central, the team that beat Waubonsie Valley this evening. They're 6-1 right now, and they gave the consensus number one team, Lincoln Way East, all they could handle. Led them at halftime. This is a program that obviously has had some success in the past, but had kind of fallen in the background of the other Lincoln Way district schools. But it looks like they're back, and they're a team to really keep an eye on come the 7A draw, because I think this is a pretty good football team.
How do you say the school in Rockton? You just asked for the question on Twitter about a half an hour ago. I don't know how to say it. Honongah. How do you say that?
Honongah.
Honongah beat Auburn 29-6. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, that was I was interested in that because one of the things that I've been monitoring and talking a lot about is the lack of undefeated teams in the state this year. And I that's a very interesting thing when you're talking about the brackets, because last year we finished the regular season with 39 undefeated teams, which was a normal number. Well, we've already, and we've still got two weeks of the regular season left here. We've already whittled that list down to 34. So it's going to get even lower. And what that means is we're going to have a lot more, you know, teams in the middle of the brackets, the 8-1s, the 7-2s. You're not going to have a lot of these brackets this year cluttered with a bunch of 9-0 teams, because we're running out of them. They're running out quickly.
We're on with Steve Soucy here on Preps Plus Chicago. He's the IHSA bracket expert for Shaw Media. Steve, I hope you don't mind. We're going to take a question from a caller. Yeah. We've got Joe in Naperville joining Preps Plus. Hey, Joe, what's your question for the Seuss?
Hey, kiddos. I know that it's statistics-oriented, if you will. I'm just curious, a fascinating subject. How many bodies are involved, and how do you determine their qualifications to make the judgment? So number of judges, if you will, and what are their qualifications?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
He's asking how many people are involved in the process of putting the playoff picture together.
Sure, I know there's statistics for the teams, obviously, that is the primary consideration, but who determines it and how are they qualified?
It's all mathematical. I mean, sure. Basically what it comes down to is when you automatically qualify for the playoffs if you win a conference title or you win six or more games during the regular season. And then beyond that, to fill out the rest of the field, it is 5-win teams that make up the rest of the field, the 256 teams that ultimately make the playoffs in the A classifications. So once you do that, you use playoff points, which is essentially the number of wins that your the opponents on your schedule amass during the regular season to break all of the ties, and that's how they're all seeded. So it's all computer-oriented. Once all that information is inputted and all the 9-week results come in, they spit that information into the computer. The computer spits it back out. What I do when I look at it, I try to project what those numbers are going to be, and I try to figure out what the playoff matchups are going to be before all of that stuff is finished. And I don't know how many people actually are involved in the process, but like I said, once all the results are posted, it's generally all it is math. It's basic math that puts them in the brackets, gives them their seeds. There's not judges in regards to, you know, is this team worthy? Is this team not worthy? Like the NCAA tournament, for example, it's all math based. If you win 9 games and someone else wins 8 games, that 9 win team is going to be seeded ahead of the 8 win team. That's pretty much the general breakdown.
It's far from a perfect process. We all know that. And you look at other states and how they do it. Some states, they let all the teams in. If you're 0-9, you can get in. You're 1-8, you can get in. You can't please everybody, though. If you were to have your way, Steve, and you were in charge of the playoff process, what would be the first thing you would change about the football playoffs in Illinois?
Well, one of the things that kind of bothers me about the whole situation is the playoff point situation isn't perfect. I don't know if there is a perfect answer to it. I would rather, for the seeding purposes, I would rather you were awarded playoff points based on the teams that you've beaten. If you play a team that has 9 wins and they beat you 54-0, you still get those 9 playoff points. And to me, I think a better equivalency to figuring out the seeds would be stacking them in order of the number of wins of the teams that you beat rather than just the number of wins of the teams that you played.
It's fascinating stuff. And you say it's simple math. I'm going to call BS on that because I can't do it. But we appreciate that you do. He's Steve Soucy from Shaw Media, the IHSA bracket expert for the guys over at Shaw. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @TheSouce, T-H-E-S-O-U-C. Read his fine work there. I want to bring you back on when we get through week 9, if that's okay. I love your stuff.
Sounds great. I appreciate you having me.
That is the Seuss, Steve Soucy from Shaw Media. Always great to talk to him. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back with a full scoreboard on Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN.
Tabulating game scores.
Now, the Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
Do our final check of the scores here. Kevin Powell is off. Executive producer Joe Romano has some scores. And the tease is somebody broke 100 tonight. You'll wait and see.
All righty. A couple of upsets in the top 25. We got number 19 Lions upset by Downers Grove North. That's a 31-28 final. We also had Neuqua Valley shut out by Wheaton North. That was 23-0. Elsewhere in the top 20, Lincoln Way East easily over Lockport, 49-6. Main South, 47-13 over Glenbrook South. Prairie Ridge, 55 points. Not quite 100. 55 points.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Halfway there. Beat Hampshire 55-14. Number 4, Phillips, 42-28 over Raby. Is that what we went with? Or Rabby?
Rabby.
And
if it's Raby, people will be...
Yeah, that would not go
really
well.
Really upset.
Yep. Naperville North, 44-41 over Naperville Central. Homewood Flossmoore, 35-7 over Bradley Bourbonnais. Huntley, 49-7 over Crystal Lake Central. Outside of the top 25, St. Vider, 25-3 over St. Patrick. 34-7 was the final. Fulton over Riverdale. Libertyville, 42-0 over Mundelein. Moline, 35-32 over Quincy. Lincoln Way Central, 19-7 over Waubonsie Valley. Bartlett with a 25-7 win over East Aurora. Willowbrook, 56-6 over Morton. Galesburg lost to... Here's another tough one for you. Is it Alleman? Alleman?
I have no idea.
Yeah, some of these schools.
I have no idea.
I should have picked better, more easily pronounced schools.
Possibly.
Yeah. Let's see. St. Lawrence, 55-10 over Marmion. Wheaton-Warrenville South, the Tigers with a shutout over Matea Valley, 44-0. West Carroll.
That's their first win, Wheaton South, this year.
Well,
they were 0-6.
That's the team that knocked my Huskies out of the playoffs, junior and senior year.
Not that I remember. Not that you let it go.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Brother Rice, 56-0 over St. Joseph. Great school name there, St. Joseph. Let's see what else we got here. Elmwood Park, 38. Another shutout, 38-0 over Chicago Christian. Here's another shutout. Foreman, 34-0 over Lakeview. Crystal Lake, North Chicago, 12-10. That's a nice Chicago game for you. 12-10, defense wins games. Hubbard, 28-18 over Kenwood. And wrapping it up here, Sterling, 41-6 over Rochelle.
I have a couple here I wanted to add. For Lou Manfredini, Notre Dame College Prep 48, Marion Catholic 19, Oak Park 30, York 7, Batavia 10, South Elgin 7. I'm surprised you buried the lead on this one. Oswego over Joliet Central.
Well, I was, you know, we were getting to that one.
110-3.
110.
Rob Martier, 110-3.
Wow. Did you ever score 100 points in high school football there, Rob?
I don't think in my 4 years at Glenbrook South we cumulatively scored 100 points.
3 yards in a cloud of dust, right?
We were a defensive-minded squad, I can tell you that much.
Plainfield North, 32. Plainfield South, 20. Richards, 46. Evergreen Park, 7. Lamont, 42. Tinley Park, nothing. A lot of these we've gotten to already. Crete Moni, 55. Rich South, nothing. Huntley, 49. Crystal Lake Central, 7. They're pouring in on the text line, 312-981-7200. Shout out to the 630 Batavia. Yes, they are. They are 7-0. Big thanks to Joe Romano for pulling double duties tonight, doing the EP work and doing the updates. Preps Plus Chicago, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We believe Kevin Powell will be back next week. It all depends on the Cubs schedule, but thanks to our guests and great stuff with Steve Soucy from Shaw Media. If you missed anything, WGNRadio.com. Check the podcast out. Just search for Preps Plus. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.